This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along. You're listening to the weekly golf podcast here with William Hill. It's Dave Kellner in the studio alongside Mr. Mike Grenham to get stuck into the Dubai Desert Classic and the Waste Management Phoenix Open. And we'll do that in just a few minutes' time. But first, Mike, I thought it was going to be a shocking Sunday in the golfing world because, as you'd mentioned on Twitter on, I think it was Friday night, you had me on Spieth watch, and then I had you on Woodland watch on the Sunday night. But you did have a little dabble on Woodland.
I had a reasonable bet on him before the tournament, so I was cheering him on, Dave, unlike you who hadn't backed Spieth. So I was, although it would have soured it, I make no bones about this. I like the winners I give. I like to put them on the podcast, don't you? Yeah, yep. Really. It would have soured it. I wouldn't deny that. But obviously, the money would have helped.
Yes.
I'd have recovered, you know. I wouldn't have been crying all Sunday night. It's the perfect scenario for me and you, I reckon, is when we tip them on the podcast and back them. Well, I didn't do the former with Woodland. But, my players that didn't want to win were leading going to the final round, I think. Yeah. Cabrera Bello and Woodland. I didn't back Cabrera Bello at all. But Woodland obviously collapsed a little bit, as did Spieth, to be fair, Dave.
It was a disappointing Sunday for both those players. Jordan Spieth has come out subsequently and said that he tweaked his ankle on Friday and he couldn't swing as he would have liked to have done over the weekend, which I'm willing to accept that fact.
It was worse than Rafael Nadal.
A couple of poor rounds from Spieth on Saturday and Sunday when he was right, obviously in the thick of things, and then Woodland was just, he played like a 16 handicapper on Sunday.
He played poorly, no question. They both did though, didn't they? Spieth, Dave, was 5 over, was he, for the weekend?
Yep.
So, it's just one tournament, move on. Scott Stallings, I followed in running because he was creeping up that leaderboard, and I kind of thought someone was going to come from behind.
Yeah.
And he's won 3 tournaments now. I like Scott Stallings, so thank God I had a little bit of a bet on him on the night because I'd been pretty gutted to miss him. That was a tournament and a half. That was great to watch, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I was from a purely viewing perspective, I was hoping for that 5-man playoff.
Yeah, but you, Dave, we're not into patting backs here, but because we didn't tip any of the winners, actually.
No.
But your honourable mentions were all second in that event.
Yeah.
Really big prizes as well.
It was just a shame. Graham Delatt was put in very short by our compiler, Mark,
yes.
I said 40
yes.
to 1, as I mentioned on last week's podcast. And KJ Choi, who I mentioned, had good form at the Farmers, and he came with a withering late run to get into contention. And Jason Day was the guy that I didn't want to win last week, and he finished tied second as well. So
the players we didn't want to win, we had 2 seconds and a guy who led going into the final round. Well,
yeah, precisely.
They're the ones to back, never mind backing our tips. Back the ones
there
we
you
don't,
go.
Our players we don't want to win.
On the
it's the solution.
It is the solution.
I'm doing that myself from now on.
On the European Tour, Sergio Garcia triumphed in Qatar, coming from 3 shots behind to win in a playoff for Mika Ilonen. The year before, he'd missed out on the playoff when Chris Wood eagled the last. You always get the feeling with Garcia, I do anyway, Mike, that much of his golf is reliant on his situation in his personal life, which appears to be settled at the moment. He always seems to play better golf when he's settled with his personal life, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. I think that's fair. Yeah, we just have to see where this takes him because there's been a lot of false dawns with Sergio over the years, hasn't there? Mm. He may be he's not far behind the McIlroys and Tigers in terms of actual ability in my mind, but he doesn't win very often, does he? And he really doesn't for a man of his talent.
No.
So I'm leaving him on my not to back list still.
Yeah.
But he's interesting. I'll be watching him because if he just got a bit of momentum, he's got the ability.
Inside the top 10 in the world rankings now as well. Obviously, absolutely quality in terms of his ball striking.
Sneaked in a little bit for this one though, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, did a little bit.
The leaders that have kicked on, he wouldn't have probably have got there, but fascinating.
Let's get stuck into this week then, and we'll start off with the Dubai Desert Classic, where Rory McIlroy is the 7-2 favourite, Tiger Woods in the betting at 6-1, Henrik Stenson is 12-1, Joost Luiten and Rafa Cabrera Bello and Torbjørn Olesen all 25-1. Brandon Grace is 33s, and it's 40s and bigger the rest. This is an absolute cracker, Mike, with Tiger Woods coming over after his 54-hole missed cut in the Farmers Insurance Open last weekend. And Rory McIlroy is looking to enhance his record in the event after his second in Abu Dhabi a couple of weeks ago. This event has been part of the European Tour schedule since 1989, and apart from the 1999 and 2000 editions, Emirates Club has hosted the tournament. And Mike, this is a good test for the players. Course measures 7,316 yards, and you look back through the roll of honour in this tournament, and some of the biggest names in the world of golf have triumphed over in this event over the years. Seve Ballesteros won here in 1992, and in the mid to late noughties, Tiger Woods won here twice, and McIlroy won back in 2009. Looking through past leaderboards from a statistical perspective, do you think there's any specific attribute that stands out for a player that does well at this golf course, Mike?
I don't. Or if there is, I can't work it out because I like to look at things like that. And I just have to say, Dave, that it was difficult to get to the bottom of what was the most likely attribute. Maybe greens in regulation, I think, is possibly important. Just that second shot thing. I don't know, driving accuracy, ball strikers. I don't know. You've got to putt well, maybe, as much as anything here. Putting, I suppose. But no, if I couldn't put my finger on the exact identical player, unusually, in this event. Could you?
I quite like long hitters here, Mike. You look back through the last 8 years in this event, long hitters have done reasonably well. The last eight winners have all been long hitters, barring Miguel Angel Jimenez.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
The course has been lengthened through the years as well, so that would back up that idea to a certain extent.
Yeah, possibly, Dave. I'm not as convinced as you that long hitting is pivotal, but it certainly doesn't harm.
I've got a couple of long hitters. Two picks for me in this event.
Go on, kick on.
I'm going for Alvaro Quiroz as my headline selection here.
Previous winner.
45-1, which I think is more than fair for Quiroz in this event. Let's not forget that the first two winners in the Desert Swing, both Spaniards, with Pablo Larrazabal winning a couple of weeks ago and Sergio Garcia winning last week. So maybe Quiroz can draw on that. And as you mentioned, previous winner. Back in 2011, did finish 6th in 2010 at this venue, and 13th in 2009 as well. So good form here in Dubai. And as we've mentioned on previous podcasts, Mike, there's a real feeling that he's coming back to something like his best, Quiroz, after a spell in the wilderness. And despite finishing down the field in Qatar last week, he did rank 2nd in greens in regulation, which I think is testament to how well he's striking the ball at the moment, Quiroz. But he putted dismally. His putting will have to improve this week. But the week prior to last week, he putted well but didn't drive the ball as accurately. So if it all fits this week on a golf course he clearly loves, I think Quiroz is a big prize at 45.
So if he hits it well, puts well, gets it on the greens in regulation, and scores better than everyone else, he'll win.
What I'm saying is,
it's a nice summary.
He did the ball striking well last week, putted well the previous week. This week he's going to merge the whole lot and win for the second time in Dubai.
Yeah.
No, he's a desert player, isn't he, as well? A lot of his best form's in the desert.
A million percent, Dave. Absolutely loves the desert, doesn't he? A lot of these Spanish players do, don't
they?
I suppose there are some similarities to run courses and the environment. But Quiroz, 45s could look big on him. He's a player I have a lot of time for myself, so I can totally with you on that one. He's not on my list. He was on my
long list.
My long short list.
Yep.
He's not on my short list, if that makes sense. Instead, I'm going for a bit of a little bit of a speculative player here, but I think there's a player in this field who's incredibly overpriced.
Really?
Go down to the 150-1 shots, Dave.
Yep.
Who do you think?
I think you're going to go for, out of those 150 pokes, Raphael Jacquelin.
No, you're not a million miles away. You're in the right country. But I think Gregory Bordy is a massive price at 150-1. He just finished last season ever so well. The one question mark against him is his first outing of the year, so he could be rusty, but I'm hoping that he'll have been out on the range and giving it plenty, because he didn't have finished last season well. Played ever so well in the Seve Trophy when we backed him. Won in Wales. Just really ended the season ever so well. Played top 20s in Dubai and the BMW and the HSBC or nearabouts, top 25s.
Yep.
And if he can just start a little bit better in some of these tournaments. He started in Dubai. Obviously, in this part of the world, he was 21st. He started with 76. He did something similar in the HSBC, which obviously a big event, 75 in the first round. If he can get going in one of these events, I really fancy his chances. So, 15th in the World Cup he was. Really, really elevated his game in recent years. As a top 10 and a top 20 here in the last 4 years. How can he be 152 on? I just do not understand it. He's accurate off the tees, good ball striker, loads of confidence. French players are playing really well. V-Dub, Kane, Jack Allan, they're all winning, they're all playing well. Massively overpriced.
Okay, I like it. Gregory, what's the staking then?
2 points win, 1 point place.
Wow. Gregory Bordy, 150-1. My second pick is a guy that I'm convinced you... I think you should go for him this week. Whether or not you do is... remains to be seen. Peter Uihlein is my second selection.
No, I haven't gone for him, actually. I'd kick myself if he wins.
Yeah, I think this is his week on this golf course, Peter Uihlein at 66-1.
It better not be, Dave.
I know. I'm very surprised. I just think the setup's perfect for him. As I mentioned in the preliminaries, I think length off the tee is a big factor around this golf course. And I know he is one of your favourites. He's had a sighter here, did miss the cut in 2012, but he was on the Challenge Tour back then. This was one of the few European Tour events he played back in 2012. He shot 70 in the second round, only missed the cut by a couple. As we know, very long off the tee. Last week, he hit the ball really well. You went for him last week, finished 16th. He ranked second in distance off the tee, 9th in the putting stats. If he hits it a little bit straighter this week, he didn't hit it straight last week, but
that'd worry me.
Yeah, that would be a slight concern. But having looked back through the past winners and the past guys that have contended here, I don't think accuracy off the tee is necessarily a huge factor. I really don't. I think this setup's brilliant for Peter Uihlein, and having finished 16th last week, he's coming to the boil now. And 66-1 is a big price for a guy with an abundance of talent. I reckon this place will suit him.
Yeah, I get that, Dave. I don't think accuracy off the tee is everything. You're right there, but it certainly doesn't harm. And I just think greens in regulation is probably the key one, isn't it? And we'll see. But Uihlein, if he wins, I'll be on Uihlein watch. I think I've tipped him already two or three times this season.
Yeah.
Anyway. This is interesting, because I'm going to tip a man that you normally tip.
Okay, Tommy Fleetwood.
Correct. I'm going for Tommy Fleetwood this week. Short and simple, he's a very big price at 66-1, is he still?
He is.
I don't get that, because he's... All right, he didn't play very well in Qatar last week, but third in the Volvo and the 19th in the Abu Dhabi event before that. Another one who finished 2013 in fantastic form with a win at Glen Eagles. Fifth in the Alfred Dunhill, top 20 in that HSBC, similar to Bode, actually. Good finish in that event. Mm. Top 10 in the Euro Masters, just elevating his game, just playing really well. And was 10th here last year. Very interesting. With a final round, I think he had of 72, if I just check, that maybe just dropped him down a little bit. So could even have been better. Well, he's a better player now.
Yep.
Tommy Fleetwood at 66-1. I think he could run a big race here.
Yeah. Going slightly off the boil, maybe?
But based on one finish?
A couple of finishes.
Well, it was top 20 in the Abu Dhabi event. Is that not good enough for you? Is that off the boil?
I just think we've got one player in Uihlein trending upwards and one player in Fleetwood trending in the opposite direction at the moment, Mike.
You may be right. They're the same price. And no, I won't have a free lunch pack.
That would be something, wouldn't it?
Because I don't want to be in winning and losing... free lunches on this, so no, it. But 1 week, I'll always forgive them 1 week.
Yeah,
I'll forgive them 1 week, and he's top 10 here last year.
What about McIlroy?
You and I missed the cut on his own here. That's true.
What about McIlroy and Woods at the top of the betting?
Well,
Woods was dire last week, wasn't he?
Woods was terrible on the final round that he played. He was awful, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He lost about 9 shots.
His swing just looked ragged as well. It just, nothing seemed to be in sync for Woods. You never know. The problem that I've got is you never know how bad things are with Tiger, do you?
He downs tools sometimes these days, doesn't he?
And occasionally.
And gets a sulk on. Yeah. So you don't know. It's very hard. 6-1 could look big, couldn't it? It could look big. But
given he's won this twice before.
Absolutely. But anyone who watched him on Saturday night, yep, it would have been, wouldn't it? Wouldn't be backing him, would they?
No.
Or was it even Friday night?
No, it was Saturday. He missed the 54-hole cut.
That's right, he did. 20th year, or 2 or 3 years ago, Dave. So you can probably, I can let him run today in this tournament, can't
you?
Yeah,
I think that I'd much rather back Rory McIlroy.
You've got to have a saver on Rory McIlroy, because I think he'll probably win this. But 72...
It's short enough, isn't it?
Short enough. And I'll be having a saver on him for sure. I expect him to win it, if I'm being honest. Or maybe be second to Gregory Birdie, one of those two.
Out of the top guys, I like Henrik. I prefer Henrik Stenson over Tiger Woods. I'd play Henrik Stenson in a match bet over Tiger Woods this week. If you're getting odds against on that match bet.
I can say you'll get odds against on that. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. I would... I really fancy Rory to have a fantastic year. And I can see him winning this week. I don't fancy Stenson that much, Dave. I think he might have gone off the boil slightly.
Yeah, I think it showed signs last week that he was coming back. I think I still expect Stenson to have a big season. I think there were signs last week that he's getting in the groove again. And he's got a decent, if not spectacular, record here. We'll see.
No, yeah. There's other Rafael Cabrera Bello is but 25-1 in this field.
Yeah,
is short.
Same with Torbjörn Olesen. Mm. I think 25-1 in this field, short, very short on him.
Yeah,
I liked a couple of Swedes, Mikko Ilonen and Johan Carlsen, as maybe outsiders to watch. Mikko Ilonen does put good performances back to back. Obviously beaten in the playoff by Garcia last week, but looking through his form over the past couple of years, he often goes boom, bust, boom. Often follows a good performance with a miscut and a poor performance, and then comes back the next week.
Yes, he does.
So maybe needs that week off.
I'm gonna jump in though and say our Scandinavian listeners won't be happy with you because he's from Finland, isn't he?
Is he from Finland, Mikko Ilonen?
He is.
I do apologise.
Yes, but that part of the world is.
Should
we
have
like
said Scandinavian, shouldn't I?
Scandinavian, you've been. That's what you meant, isn't it?
Of course it is.
Yeah. He played great last week. Who was the other one? Sorry.
Johan Carlsen, who's stringing together really good performances, but. It's not being missed by the compilers. He's 80-1, Johan Carlsen. He's surrounded with players that have won on tour before. And Johan Carlsen, he's playing very, very good golf at the moment, but he's just too short 80s.
Yeah, smashing event, Dave, isn't it? Stephen Gallagher, obviously, his chance is obvious. Plays here really well. And another big outsider along similar lines to Gregory Birdie. I thought Jeev Milka-Singh showing signs of playing a little bit better. And he can win, you know. I wouldn't put people off looking at him for a top 10 finish, Jeev Milka-Singh. But I'm worried about Birdie being rusty, but otherwise, I love that price.
What are you having on Fleetwood, by the way, as well?
Point each way.
Onto the
saver on Rory. Sorry to interrupt, but yeah. Saver on Rory. Save your stake on Rory.
Okay. Onto the Waste Management Phoenix Open, which is this week's PGA Tour event. It's an event that I love. I think if I ever decided to go to a PGA Tour event, which I've not done yet, I'd choose this one.
16th,
the amphitheatre. It's been described as more of a tailgate fraternity party than a golf hole, and that's the way it comes across on the screen, isn't it?
Yeah.
Beer everywhere, hundreds of thousands of people surrounding the hole. They've done away with the caddy race, which I tweeted this morning, which annoys me immensely, because that was a bit of fun, wasn't it, that caddy race?
And, it's maybe entertainment, isn't it?
The PGA Tour have scrapped that because some parents complained that it was inducing thoughts that they didn't want their kids to have. It was just absolute nonsensical decision, but it's gone anyway.
I may well have mentioned this every year we do the podcast, but my one of my favourite moments in golf is Tiger's hole.
Yes.
When he's walking down the hole and they're throwing beer, glasses are going everywhere and he's pumping the crowd.
Fantastic, isn't
it's
it?
It's amazing.
It's on YouTube.
Go on YouTube.
Yeah.
Go on YouTube. Tiger Woods, hole in one, Phoenix Open, if you haven't ever seen it. It's just fantastic. And I watched that live and I was, it was amazing.
As for the event itself, Mike, TPC Scottsdale Is an easy golf course, to say the least.
Yeah, it was, what was it, about 27 under last year?
Yeah,
well,
Mickelson nearly led from pillar to post to win, almost jarred that putt for 59 in the first round en route to the title. And he's trying to get ready to defend his title this year, Mike, but because of the bad back that forced him to withdraw from the Farmers Insurance Open last week, he withdrew from the Pro-Am, so it's up in the air as far as Mickelson's participation in the event is concerned. I don't think he'll play.
We're doing this on Tuesday morning, UK time, at about 10 to 12. I don't think he'll play. I don't know, but if I was him, I'd be just I'd have Augusta in mind and I wouldn't be taking any risks.
No, they are renovating the course this summer, but this year scoring will be low again, and it will come down to putting, as it does almost every year.
Yeah,
Mike. The thing, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, Mickelson's still in the event. He's taking quite a lot out of the market at 14-1, so it may be worth getting your bet on before that decision is announced.
Correct. Yeah,
because a lot of these players could be cut. Mickelson's 14-1 favourite. Webb Simpson 16-1. Keegan Bradley 25-1. Bill Haas, Billy Horschel, Bubba Watson, Harris English, and Matt Every all 28s. Ryan Moore's been cut into 25-1. And it's 33s and bigger the rest. As I mentioned, Mike, it's largely comes down to putting at the end of the week.
Well, last year it certainly did, didn't it? Yeah. Where the winning score was shorter than I think it's been for quite a number of years. And they're going to toughen up the course, aren't they, I think, over the summer. Is that right?
That is right.
Yeah, so... Yeah, that makes it. That brings a lot more players into it, doesn't it? Birdie Fest are not my favourite type of betting propositions because I think someone just has a good week with a hot stick and they can jump into contention, can't they?
Yeah.
With a flat stick, should I say. It gets hot and then they're away. But I do fancy the two players I've picked, having said that. So, I'm willing to have it a go.
I've got a couple as well. I led off in Europe. I'll let you tee off in America.
I've got the honour.
Yep.
After your picks, I've got the honour. No, I'm joking. Who to go first with? I fancy both of these fairly strongly, actually. Oh, I'll be controversial and go first with Gary Woodland is my pick here.
Really?
Yeah. I think,
I don't like this.
Don't you?
No.
I think 33-1 is a very, very good price for Gary Woodland. Yeah, admittedly, he didn't play well in the final round last week. There's no question about that. And certainly lost his concentration towards the end and finished 10th. He should have been placed, in truth. But he has very good form here in Phoenix. In the last 3 years, he's finished 5th, 26th and 16th. And when you remember that in the last 2 years, he's not been playing that well, really. This is a real interesting form line. He's 5th in 2011 when he was at his best. He's very interesting. He hits it a mile, Gary Woodland. Putted like a god last week, even in the final round. I'm willing to forgive what was... He didn't play well in the final round, but he wasn't the only one. It's not an easy course. He's 12th in greens in regulation this year and he's 7th in birdie average. Not too bad last year on those kind of figures. Even better in 2011 when he was at his best. He was again 12th and 13th in those two starts. So I think Gary Woodland is underestimated at your peril this week because he's in good form. He was 2nd in the CIMB, 13th in High Hyundai, 10th in the Farmers, backing up from a win in Reno and a second in the Barclays last season. I expect redemption for Gary Woodland this week. I think 33-1 is a very, very, very good price.
33-1 for Gary Woodland. I'm worried about his wedge. I've mentioned it on Twitter. I'm worried about his wedge game. I just think that I'm no swing expert, but they were analysing it on Sunday night on the Golf Channel, and... it's just got that lag. It just doesn't look in complete control with his wedges, in my opinion. But we'll see.
I think, Dave, that you could pick anyone's worst round of the week and find elements of concern in them. But from 75 to 100 yards on tour this season, he's 1st in greens in regulation.
Mm.
So his iron play can't be that bad. I expect him to go very well this week.
Okay, Woodland.
There is a danger that he'll have let down. Of course there is, you know, but 33-1, he's in cracking form.
We've found the free lunch bet here. I'll go with Chris Kirk as my...
You won't.
Oh, have you picked him?
I picked him as well.
Okay. Chris Kirk at 40-1 is my headline selection.
Gary Woodland obviously could play. He could have a nightmare because he could be let down.
Yeah.
But if he goes into this with a positive frame set, and I think he's a very resilient individual...
Mm.
I think that it is a very big price.
Do you prefer him to Kirk?
I like Kirk's price as well.
Yeah, 40-1 I thought was big, very big. As we've mentioned numerous times on the podcast, he loves birdie venues.
Yep.
Chris Kirk, I think he's the best bet towards those towards the head of the betting. I think he should be shorter in the market. Finished 24th here last year. And you look at his start to this season, it's been sensational. Winner of the McGladrey Classic, went on to finish 16th in the Tournament of Champions, followed that with a second in the low-scoring Sony Open. Always plays scoring holes well. You look at his record last year, plays the par fives brilliantly. And last year, 18th in strokes gained putting and 11th in birdie average. I was very surprised to see 40-1. I think he's overpriced in the betting. Matt Every's 28-1 and Chris Kirk's 40s.
Matt Every's got a fantastic record here, but he's very short, isn't he? I was a bit shocked at his price, to be honest. Have we got Mark's keeps this week? Has he sent them?
Yeah, he's keeping Ryan Moore and Matt Every in this event.
Yeah, you could tell he's keeping Matt Every, couldn't you?
Yeah, and he likes Brandon Grace in the other event. So those are Mark Adshead, our compiler's couple of picks, or few picks this week for the respective events. 40-1, Chris Kirk.
Decent price, I think, Dave. You know, his form is progressive here. He was top 25 last year, so... Yeah, as you said, you've summed it up. I don't need to say it all again. Mm. I like his chance at 40s myself.
My second pick is Kevin Streelman. I'm going a point each way on Kevin Streelman at 80-1.
I love your free lunch bet with Woodman and Streelman.
You're okay, thank you. I chance Streelman here. He's not got any real course form to speak of, but has started the season strongly with an eighth in the World Cup of Golf last year, back in the last year. And then went on to finish third in his latest event, the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Strong putter, should set up a lot of birdie chances with his good wedge game. Streelman, he's not performed brilliantly here. Let's make no bones about it. But I much prefer, as I always say, course form or recent form outweighs course form. And 80-1 look big for me on Kevin Streelman.
I think this is a course form type place, though, don't
yeah.
you? I think the same players do come back and play well here a lot of years. Some courses, I'm not so bothered about it, but at Phoenix, it's just such a different atmosphere, isn't it? Maybe it's not the course, maybe it's the environment. You've got to have guys who are willing to play in front of people who've had far too much beer to drink, you know, and have got a little bit of that so about them. So I think Woodland and Kirk fit that bill beautifully, which is why I've picked them. So, now, Streelman... in really solid form, isn't he?
Yeah. I am going to slot one more in, actually.
Ooh,
I have got him written down on my list. I don't know how I managed to forget about this man. It's because he's such a big price. 300-1. I'm going half a point each way on Tommy Gainey at 300-1.
Two gloves.
This is a real speculative play, and I wouldn't even... It's difficult to convince anyone to have a go on Tommy Gainey at 300-1, but I'll be having a little bet on him. He led here after 36 holes in 2011, Gainey. He did absolutely diddly squat last year, was dreadful. But I can't help remembering his 60 to win the McGladrey Classic at the back end of 2012 and how well he played here in Phoenix for 36 holes in 2011. Form this year, not great. Did finish 23rd at the McGladrey earlier on in the season and didn't play badly at the Farmers Insurance Open either. Obviously, that's never a golf course that's going to really suit two gloves, Tommy Gainey. At 300-1, I think he's worth chancing from an each-way perspective. You can throw a little bit on him, can't you, at 300-1?
For sure.
And a quarter first five. I'll be playing half a point each way on Tommy Gainey at 300-1 as a speculative selection. Goes well on in low-scoring events.
Yeah, good. No, nothing wrong with that, Dave. You don't have to have a lot on, do you, at 300?
No, precisely.
So to win a few quid. So no, I don't knock you on that at all. The market leader, I was ever so close to picking Webb Simpson. I think he's playing really well, and I just this is his putting's great, and I just think this is a course where he could build on some good form over the last couple of years. I was ever so close to picking him, I have to say, and I might be regretting it if he wins. He's not a massive price, having said that. He's only 16s, but
no.
If Mickelson pulls out, he'll be shorter again, won't he, I guess. A couple of top tens here as well in recent years. Do you know what? There's a load of players here. JB Holmes has won here twice, and he's sneaking back after injury, but he's at the compilers have spotted him. Yep. He's only 80s, and really he'd want more for, you know, he's on the comeback trail, isn't he?
Definitely.
Ditto Justin Leonard, who's really sneaking back into form, has played well occasionally here before, but he's only 80s. I was betting 150s him. And then Scott Piercy,
he's the one that's top of my honourable mentions list, Scott Piercy. I think he loves it here, doesn't he?
He does.
66-1, could bounce back at a venue that he really likes.
And
those two miscuts were on the number.
Yeah, but he's not playing well, Dave. I think I backed him in one of them. And I'd have expected to be picking him for this at 66s, but his current form just worries me greatly. But I'll be very much watching him in running, him play.
Yeah,
he's playing well, I'll save on him.
I want to mention Billy Horschel as well.
I thought you'd pick him.
Yeah, 28-1 short enough, though, for me. Finished 11th here last year. This is the sort of venue that I expect him to excel at, because I think he's the sort of character that he'll love the environment, won't he? He'll be getting really fired up this week, Billy Horschel. I just thought 28-1 maybe a tad short, but he is in pretty solid form. Does have a habit of throwing in a little shocker every now and then. Did it last week at the Farmers as well. You can't get too far behind in this event.
No.
You can't be making bogeys or doubles, because then you've got to
unless you shoot 60 or something. Precisely. To get your bitsell back in it. Brant Snedeker could look at 33s, couldn't he? He was second, was he, here last year?
He was, and obviously very aggressive putter, and should make a lot of birdies, but just a little bit off his game, isn't he, Snedeker?
He wouldn't be that price if he wasn't, would he? But you'll get people who are willing to take that chance on someone who plays well here. It's a golf podcast. I'm going to mention Bill Haas. I apologise for leaving it so long. Not quite sure he'll make enough birdies, but I bet he's top 10.
Yeah.
He almost certainly to be there or thereabouts. And he could win it. He could win it, because if he gets his... He can be a bit of a birdie machine when he gets going. Yeah, Bo Van Pelt crossed my mind a little bit. But no, I'll settle for the two guys I got. They edged out Webb Simpson.
Who's the player you don't want to win this week, Mike?
Oh, God. Peter Uihlein.
You're a little devil.
Brandon Grace as well, Mark mentions, I picked him last week. So I hate seeing them win the week after, don't you?
I might have to go for Tommy Fleetwood now that you picked Peter Uihlein as the man, you don't want to win.
Well, let's do it.
Okay, I'll have Tommy Fleetwood. I don't fancy Tommy
Fleetwood. To be fair, Dave, the only thing people listen to is the players we don't want to win, because they go better than the ones that we...
That's it. I suppose Scott Piercy would be the player that I don't want to win then.
Yeah, he'd be up there, wouldn't he? Given the price, yeah, he would. Yeah.
Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at dkellner and at mgrenham. Do keep your eye out for that elusive Twitter bet. Remember, Mark Adsett's keeps as well this week. He's going with Brandon Grace in Europe, and in America, he's going for Matt Every and Ryan Moore. And let's have a recap, because we often forget the recap, don't we?
Rafael Cabrera Bello would be my player in Europe. I didn't want to win, by the way, although he is short in the betting. In the Dubai event, I will go 2 points win, 1 point place, 150-1 Gregory Bowden.
This sets you up for the season, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think he's massive at that, Dave.
Yeah?
There's a worry about rust. I appreciate that. But he's two top 20s there in the last 4 years. I don't know why he's that price in a recent winner. And a point each way, Tommy Fleetwood at 66s. And in the Phoenix, it's a point each way on both of these lads. Chris Kirk at 40s and Gary Woodland at 33s. I'm tempted to have a little bit more on Woodland. I'm very tempted to go 2 points.
Are you really?
Yeah, I am. I'll leave it at that, though.
Okay. I'm going a point each way on both Alvaro Quiroz and Peter Uihlein at 40-1 and 66-1, respectively, in the Dubai Desert Classic. And in the Phoenix Open, three picks here. Point each way, Chris Kirk at 40-1. Point each way, Kevin Streelman at 80-1. And half a point each way on Tommy Two Gloves Gainey to maybe bounce back this week at a really big price. 300-1, Tommy Two Gloves Gainey. Thanks for listening, everyone. And,
yeah, we'll be updating on Twitter, won't we? At mgrenham and at dkellner. So.
I'm just most annoyed about the caddy racing on 16 being banned. That might take up the majority of my tweeting this weekend.
Oh, good.
I know you look forward to that,
Mike. I look forward to that. Like your non-existent Twitter bet.
Remember, you can download this on Audioboo as well in better quality if you're not already listening there, and you can get it on iTunes as well. Thank you for listening to this week's golf podcast, and we'll be back soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.